No, my hearty, my welcome to the panel, RNZ National. Now, on the program today, a new counter-terrorism bill for those Kiwis that have been involved in overseas terrorist activity. How will it work? And new figures out from the OECD as a report reveals the US is the only wealthy country with a higher child obesity rate than what country? Have a guess. It's us, New Zealand. And Massey University has cancelled an event called Feminism 2020, citing health and safety risks. A feminist conference banned from a university, we discussed that. And the New Zealand First Youth Wing, yes, they have a youth wing, have come out against this party in support of pill testing of recreational drugs at festivals. So on that note, our question of the day is this. Do you or would you support recreational drug testing at festivals? Why or why not? Would it make the festival experience safer? Does it endorse the taking of drugs? Let us know. Text us 2101 or email the panel at rnz.co.nz. Frank says, of course, it's if the alternative is injury or death, who wouldn't? It's a rite of passage for young people to make mistakes in their life journey. So text us 2101 or email the panel at rnz.co.nz. With me today, Dr. Ella Henry, Senior Lecturer at AUT, back from a trip. It's kia ora. It's great to have you back, Ella.
Kia ora. Lovely to be back.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to hearing all about your travels. And with us for the first time in a wee while, actually, writer and technologist Steve McCabe. Steve, welcome back to the panel.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Oh, see, you got yourself an Apple Watch.
Absolutely. Like my toys.
Yeah, I bet you do. All right. And with us is Ellie Ventura, Story of the Day.
Kia ora.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
I do not have an Apple Watch. I actually, it's funny because I'm not wearing my watch because I got so sick of people asking what the time is and I didn't actually know what it was because my watch has been broken since like the week before after I bought it and I continued to wear it for about 2 years.
Because it was pretty?
It looked pretty and, you know, it just kind of, it felt like something you just put on in the morning and then so many people go, oh, have you got the time? I go, no idea.
And they constantly ding, 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 interrupt life, don't they, Steve, your watch?
No, it doesn't because I'm actually capable of ignoring it. I mean, to be fair, when I'm teaching, a bigger distraction was, you know, I get a ding on my watch, on my phone, I beg your pardon, and I'd be shouting at my students for looking at their phones during class. I can't stop there and, like, whip my phone out of my pocket and go, ooh, that's interesting. Now it's just a very quick, subtle, oh, is that the time? And also, ooh, thanks for the message. And no one knows any difference. So, you know,
That's great because that absolutely goes into what my story of the day is about.
Oh, cool.
So I was just about to ask, you know, have you ever had that moment where you're just about to fall asleep and then you're just drifting off and you're about to get into that sleeping and then you have that telltale ping from your phone or you know, the light just lights up the room and you're just so curious. You just think, I'll just check to see what
can't
it is.
Ignore
and you,
it.
And you turn over and you look at it and maybe you reply. I mean, are you guilty of that at all?
I have different sounds for different types of input. So I know if it's a text, it's probably my children asking for something. Mm. So I will look at it.
I thought you were going to say, Anna, so I will ignore it.
Because they may be listening.
Yeah.
and if it's anything else, I ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's a pretty good...
Except the tsunami warning, which is a different one.
Yes, and I guess that's why they do a different sound for that. But apparently it's really common. A lot of people do it, and it has actually quite serious side effects. So this is Australian research, and it was reported in Sydney Morning Herald. But 1 in 5 Aussies, at least, say that they have been woken by a text and answered it, you know, after they'd been going to sleep. And 1 in 20 do it every single night. It's the temptation. That's what it is. We just can't let it go. We're so used to checking what it is. So the researcher who's from Flinders University says it's almost ingrained in us now because, you know, technology is so part of our lives. But they looked at like 2,000 people from between ages 18 and 90. So they looked at a whole range of people, not just, you know, the young people's always on their blasted phones. Mm, you know, they looked at a lot of different people to see who did it. And that's where the bad stuff comes in. So about 23% of people who had used their phones, you know, after they'd fallen asleep, as the study was looking at, they had in the last week, if they'd done that, they'd report on recent car accidents.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that is compared to 2% of those who didn't check their phones. So it was this idea that because your sleep is interrupted, it's affecting you in your day-to-day life. So lots of them also had mistakes at work, falling asleep on the job, being absent or missing social activities because of this tiredness, and just general lower levels of energy and mental health and all that sort of stuff. And that they concluded that it was just because you're in that, you're about to fall asleep, and that's such an important
time. Well, I'll tell you what, this is from a personal perspective. I fall completely into that category because I feel the need to know what's going on 24/7, and I'm dying. I'm tired, people.
All I can say is
I'm sick of it. Give me some advice.
Well, I'm obviously less important than you are then, because I don't feel that urge to be connected all the time, and people maybe not with me. But, I mean, I realise other phones are available, but on my Apple phone, they've had the Do Not Disturb feature for years. Mm. And so at 10 o'clock, unless it's my wife, who's usually sitting next to me anyway, is texting me, then it doesn't ping. It'll light up. It'll show up on the screen if I wait the screen, but it won't light up, it won't ping. And it can wait till the morning, quite
you
frankly.
You just got a message right then.
Did I? No, that was Ella.
No, that was Ella.
And I use Do Not Disturb as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a fair... And if I'm feeling really bold, I leave my telephone in the living room when I go to bed.
How do you do that?
It's difficult.
Then how do you do it?
Slightly traumatic. You do a little prayer. You put it down on the side table.
Oh, well, be serious, Ella.
But, you know, I was
your
thinking...
Your charging station is there.
Yeah, just think where the charger is.
I'm just looking at the Ella called it a telephone. That was glorious.
I've got a gold card. I'm allowed to.
Telephone. I was going to say that actually when I used to be in news rather than producing the afternoon shows, when I was on breakfast particularly, I would turn my ringer would be off all day, but I would turn it off when I went to bed. When I would go to sleep, because if anything came through and we had to come in early, so earlier than like 4 in the morning, I'd have to be, you know, you have to answer to get into the studio on time. And I have to say 100% my sleep is so much better since leaving that job.
You've noticed
purely it. Purely because I don't have that constant, like, every BBC alert, because, you know, you're in news, you look and you think, okay, no, president is dead, okay, we're fine. You know, you just sort of put it back down. But it would be a constant thing. So, yeah, I'm curious as to what other people do, what our listeners do. Do they leave it in the lounge?
Someone says, if you're going to go to sleep, turn your phone off, you dickhead. thank you, Tom. Sage advice from Tom, Steve.
Thanks.
Don't sugarcoat it, mate.
They don't worry about that.
Tell us more, Tom.
Clive says, look, it's simple. There is no way you need to take a phone to bed. So is that the advice, Ella? Don't have it in your room. It's quite hard to do, though, isn't it?
I mean, most often I do have it in my room at night, but every now and again I think, I'm not expecting anything to happen. I mean, it can sit here and charge out here and be nice and healthy and bright and plump when I see my telephone in the morning.
But I think it also depends on, you know, for people who have kids or, you know, when my grandmother was quite ill, that's a little bit different because you want to make sure you get, if something goes wrong, that you're kind of alert to it as soon as possible. But another thing that the researchers said is that a big thing is most people use their phones for alarms.
Yes.
So they're saying if you want to do it, you have to go and buy an analog clock. Just go and get a clock and then you won't feel the need.
That's that's good advice. That's quite handy advice for me. Someone says, or Julia says, use the Do Not Disturb or leave it in your bag in another room or on flight mode. That's good. 1, 2 AM call from Vodafone is enough for impetus. One of those ads.
Just quote the line from the Cowboy Junkies song where she sings, the telephone's ringing, but I won't answer it because everybody knows good news sleeps till noon.
Oh, that's good. All right. Thank you very much. 11 Chill.